Welcome to Jubal Hub, your helping hand in property management education. We are so thankful that you have joined us. And please remember to follow and like us on your favorite social media outlet, which you can find in our show notes. Now let's get started.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Jubal Hub podcast, your helping hand in property management. I am so happy to have a guest today from Higginbotham, Tammy Decker, the VP of HR Services, and she is going to be with us for a series of subjects related to human resources, some best practices, tips. She has got an enormous wealth of experience and things to be able to share with us, things that are very, very important, such as our topic for today. And our topic today is on attracting talent and talent retention. So, Tammy, thank you for being on the show. Give us an overview. Why is that such an important subject for our audience to consider?
Jonathan, thanks for the very generous introduction. Thank you for that. It's a huge topic no matter what, all the time. No matter what type of market or economy we're in, it's an important piece. These are your labor is your building blocks. And I think in this industry specifically, it is so labor driven. You've got to have the right talent in there. But I'm going to start by saying we're not in the easiest situation right now. In case y'all have noticed, we have quite a labor shortage. And I want to give you a few little stats to kind of give you a feel for why we're in this labor shortage, because I've had tons of employers ask me, where'd all the people go? Where'd they go? And my dad says that it's because all the millennials are sleeping on their parents' couches. That is not true. That is not true. The data does not support that, Ted. Here's the thing. February 2020, y'all remember February 2020 when everything was bright and shiny. We had such hope. The employee population ratio, which the St. Louis Fed produces statistically on monthly, was at 62%. So what does that represent? Well, that represents what percentage of the total U.S. population is available for work. And in February of 2020, it was 62%. And so then if you look forward 2 years, sorry, 3 years to February 2023, gosh, that was a blink of an eye. That ratio now is 60%. Well, Tammy, that's only 2%. That's not that big of a deal. That's 6.6 million people that are no longer in the work pool. So who are they? Where did they go? According to the stats, they drilled in to see, are these prime age workers, which would be your like 25 to 45? It's not. And it's not below 25. Statistically, almost the entire 6.6 million are seniors, individuals that are 55 and older, who during COVID decided, we're not going back. Their home values were high. Their retirement savings were at a place where they were comfortable, and they just weren't willing to take the risk to be back in the population. So when we lose 6.6 million people to the workforce, and we have an economy that has decided it is fully past COVID and surging ahead, we have this margin where we have jobs and we don't have enough people. I'll give you an example. In the state of Texas and the state of Georgia, we have 2 open positions for every 1 employee that's unemployed looking for work. That math is tough. What are we going to do? The other weird thing, I've had people say, well, when will it end? Is this recession that's on the horizon going to help us, you know, get out of this situation? Or what about inflation? Will companies just decide they can't hire? Well, I don't know if y'all noticed, but the United States threw a recession and no one's attending. Home values continue to be high. Hiring continues to be high. But the long range situation is, for the first time in American history, our fertility rate is below replacement. So wow. there's not a boom of people coming either. So we really are in a situation where we don't have as many people to fill positions. And a lot of our lower level positions, in entry level positions in the United States, are where we're seeing it: retail, hospitality. I would say some property management positions. Those are the places we're seeing gaps. You're seeing I went to Chipotle the other night in Atlanta and they were closed. You only could order online because they didn't have enough staff to run Chipotle. So Jonathan, I think that's where we're sitting when it comes to recruiting is how do we find people when there's not a lot of people?
Yeah, that's an amazing foundation, Tammy. See, audience, I told you, she had the stats, she had the info. Wow, wow, what a reality check that is when you crunch the numbers in that way. And property management, Tammy, I have had so many guests on this show. We have talked about this subject from a variety of different perspectives, and it's one of the more popular topics for this show. So it shows to me our audience, our industry is feeling that pinch and is really struggling. That's from talking to executives at various property management companies. So I know Higginbotham is very much involved as part of your overall services, is trying to work with companies to manage this challenge. But for the sake of the show today, can you share with our audience any techniques, any thoughts on what they can do when it comes to recruiting and even more importantly, like selecting the right person for that job that they're trying to fill?
You bet. I think it is an imperfect science. I have a recruiter, a very senior recruiter who works for me, and he was beating himself up about a bad hire that he made a couple months ago. And I was said, there is no perfect science on picking the right person. People are capable of being different people for you during an interview or being different people for you on a resume. But there are some things we can do to help find the right person. And I'm going to tell you, it starts with doing homework. Long before you post a job, you need to sit down and you have an opening now. Something's happened. Someone's left. I hope they gave notice, they showed up or whatever.
Right.
You need to sit down and pull out that job description, dust off that job description and look at it and consider, does it still capture what this person's doing? First of all, what are the actual functions of the job? Are there key qualifiers? Do they have to have a degree? Do they need a license of some sort, a trademark? Some type of trade certification? What is the targeted pay rate for this position? Because you're going to get desperate and you're going to pay too much for someone to do something that you can't afford, that your financials can't support. But desperation will put us in a bad place in this process. And I have told people desperation means you're going to fill it again in about 3 months. So right. We're not going to ask desperate. We're going to really put a good outline together of what you're looking for. But one of the best ways, I think, to fill a position and figure out what you're looking for is go back and think about who did this job well for you before. Now, if you've got five customer service reps and one of them has left and you have four, and let's say one of them is a high performer and one of them is a good performer, go to those two individuals and find out what jobs did y'all have before this job? What do you think helped you get ready for this job? See what kind of skills they got that they brought forward. I used to run a call center, and one of our call center, some of our high performers came from a security company, Brinks. And I don't know what Brinks did to train their people, but they did a fantastic job. But I got to where we were searching for Brinks when we were doing resume filters, specifically because we knew those individuals were coming to us with the right skill set. So look back at the people who did the job well. Where did they come from? What did you think that they did well? And make sure that's embedded into your selection process. That's very helpful before you even step out into trying to figure out where we're going to find some candidates. So that's one thing you can do.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. The next thing I would say, when you're looking for, when you go out into the internets, to find your people, there's lots of options, right? You've got Indeed, you've got Monster, you've got Career Builder. Then you have some other options. You've got LinkedIn. LinkedIn, you can do some searching. You can reach out to people who maybe aren't necessarily actively looking for work. There's micro posting. A few years back, I had a part-time accounting job I was trying to fill. And I needed someone who could work like 9 to 2. And I knew that there was a school district in our area that had lots of well-educated stay-at-home moms that had accounting degrees. And we were able to get with Facebook and target, micro-target women who were following an elementary, junior high, or high school in those like 3 zip codes. And they came out of the woodwork. But it takes some time to really think about where are the people that I really need to find. Another option is a referral program at work. Pay your employees to bring you good people and pay them a little bit when you hire them and pay them a little more if they make it to 90 days. Your employees know what working like is at your job. They're probably a pretty good judge on what you might need. So I'd encourage you to look at maybe referral programs. The last thing I'm going to say is consider opening your mind to some other types of candidates who maybe wouldn't always be who you think should fill the job. Are there differently abled candidates that might be able to do the work? Are there ways that you could accommodate someone who has some type of disability or handicap, but in your role, it wouldn't matter? There are ways to reach out to those types of individuals and organizations that help those individuals find jobs. And it could be a win-win for your organization and for this individual. I also will tell you, think about, can you loosen, and people are going to moan when they hear this. I don't want anybody to moan. I want you to bear with me. Are there people, can you loosen your criminal background matrix on who you will hire? Sometimes when we're in a situation where we can't find people, when there's 2 jobs for every 1 unemployed person, we may need to loosen our restrictions, things we got tight on when we were able to be a little more loose with our hiring. So that might be an option for you. If you can live with someone having an illegal substance conviction, maybe a marijuana conviction, it might be the time to take that off of your criminal background, your matrix that eliminates them from eligibility. So those are a few things that I can think of, Jonathan, that you can do kind of in the immediacy of trying to find people.
Yeah, no, absolutely brilliant, Tammy. Thank you so much. And I know there's a whole ton more, but I mean, I walked away with, looking at that job description, looking at who were your best performers, where did they come from before, looking at your own employees, seeing where they can help out through referral programs, looking at your overall policies. So some good practical steps for our audience to just stop. Sometimes it's like you get in such a your mode, you have your policies and procedures in place when it comes to hiring, when it comes to recruiting. And it's so important with the change in circumstances that we have, not just property management industry, but industries all over the place. They're having to do this. They're having to be like, we need to clear the dust off this, open it back up, make some adjustments, and really, really get to where your procedures match where we are at currently today. So I think that was absolutely brilliant. So now that leads to the question. We've focused on a couple of ways to try and get that talent in the door. Mm-hmm. And now pulling it back towards keeping them. So what are some simple tips or thoughts that you have that you work with Higginbotham clients that allows for someone, okay, that was our number one draft pick. We got that person. We got that golden employee for this position. Now the challenge is someone doesn't snatch them away from you. So thoughts, what would you say to our audience when it comes to retaining them?
Oh, it's a huge question. It's a huge, huge question. So I think different employers approach this in different ways. I think you're going to have some base factors. Let's talk about just base benefits. Employees are looking for good benefits. And when I say good benefits, employees more and more want to see a good cost share. And when I talk about cost share, I'm talking about the employee portion of their benefit cost and the employer portion. More and more, we're seeing a migration to where employers are paying more and more of the employees' portion and not near as much on child and spouse. And I think that's because many of our households now have two working parents or two working adults. So being able to, for that employee to have most of their health insurance paid for is huge, mm-hmm. is huge. And I think we're finding that employees have less anxiety about not having as much coverage or as much support in the cost paying part for the employees' kiddos or their spouse. Some of that's also because we're seeing the married population going down. And as I mentioned, the number of kids people are having now are going down. So that base set of benefits, that's important. Environment is huge. Are you creating an environment that is pleasant to work in? I'm just going to start there. Please have an environment that's pleasant for people to work in. Yes. But then let's say you have some high performers. You know what is the single best way to demotivate a high performer is to not recognize problems and deal with them and to not recognize high performance. You've got to have a way to recognize those that are doing good work and make it visible that you are addressing problems as they arise. If a high performer sees you not dealing with someone who's performing at the minimum level, they're going to assume one of two things. One, I guess I don't have to perform, or two, I want to go someplace where they're going to give me my gold star. High performers like to be recognized. So that's an important piece. So then there's all the bells and whistles, right? We can talk about pet coverage, and we can talk about, you know, do you have a legal, you know, benefit? Do you have a health program and all that? You've got to find where you're going to be. Don't do a little bit of everything, but pick the things that your population seems to care about. If mm-hmm. you have a lot of staff that are between 20 and 35, I'm going to tell you, you know what would be great? A pet policy or a bring your dog to work day or whatever, but really lean into the fact that that population, they all have dogs. They all have dogs, all of them. And they're bringing them on planes and taking them to the bar and their dogs everywhere, y'all. So do something with that. I know that's silly, but find your place. I know that a lot of you have vendors, landscaping companies, maybe you outsource cleaning services or contractors that work on your properties. Is there a way to channel that to give employees discounts with those vendors for those types of services at their home? Maybe that's a good angle for you to say that's why you'd want to work for, you know, a multifamily company, a multifamily property company or property management type company, because they have these things that really no one else is offering me a discount on those items. But good environment, take care of problems, reward your successful employees. That's where you start, and a good set of base benefits. That's where you start on creating a place people want to stay.
Beautiful. Excellent tips. I love it. And I love the dog part because that's, I'm not in that age bracket that you mentioned, but I have two dogs and I found, coming back from Europe, my wife and I were in Europe for a couple of weeks last year, Switzerland. And it's such a different culture. I mean, mm-hmm. they have their dogs with them everywhere. There is no restrictions on dogs even going to grocery stores there. Yep. Now that's maybe for some that's just like ew, but I mean that's just not even a thing there,
right?
So I find that interesting. What an excellent tip, just overall, just being able to have your pet with you at work from time to time would be something fantastic. But yep. But a great holistic approach. Again, just like we were mentioning before, and you covered some excellent points. Just don't stick with what you've been doing. You know, it's kind of, to me, it would be self-defeating if you make all these changes to make sure you get the right person, but you don't do anything whatsoever to keep the person. So right. both work hand in hand. And I'm so grateful that you've been able to be on the show, bring your expertise to the table for our audience, because great tips for them to be able to implement today.
Awesome.
So, Tammy, tell us about Higginbotham. Some of our audience may have never heard of the organization. What do you do there, and how can people connect with you?
You bet. So Higginbotham, as a larger entity, is an insurance brokerage firm. But about half of our business is selling P&C insurance. The other good portion is selling employee benefits. But what I do is I run a division called HR Services, and we basically are a third-party HR outsourced service for your organization. If you don't have an HR person in your organization, or you maybe you need an entire HR department, we have that. We have consultants, we have administrators, we have payroll processors, we have benefits administrators that kind of, you get a piece of each of those individuals. They're assigned to you. It's not a call center or anything like that. If you hire us, we have a consultant. You're going to talk to Stacy every time. I've got 20 or 30 consultants, but you'll always talk to the same consultant. And we provide those services for you so that you're not having to mess with HR. I hear people say that all the time. If I just didn't have to mess with HR, right? but more importantly, what we provide is what I consider continuity of knowledge. Right now, if you had an HR director and they left, you're going to have a 4 to 6 week period that you're, let it be 4 to 6 weeks and not 6 months, right? That it takes you to replace that director. Well, someone's got to do the work in those 4 to 6 weeks, or it doesn't go done and this person's got a big old stack. But also the person who left didn't train the new person. There's no one to say, hey, this is where to find this stuff, and here are the documents, and here's our process. Well, with Higginbotham, we have bench depth. So if we have an HR consultant leave, we've got another one right there trained up with processes ready to step into that role. So you're never without your HR staff. So that's one of the beauties of our services that we have.
Awesome. Awesome. And I know that directly connects to the two things that we were talking about today, attracting talent, talent retention.
Yep.
I've had the privilege of working with Higginbotham for the last couple of years, just knowing many of the people that work there. So yeah, you guys have an amazing organization, and it's been a big benefit to the property management industry. And I know you guys deal with a lot of industries, so thank you so much. So how can people directly connect with you? Can they connect on LinkedIn? Do you want them to email you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. It's Tammy Decker at Higginbotham. And also just at Higginbotham.com. That's where all of our services are listed. That's the best place to go to find us.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today. Excellent episode. We're looking forward to having you back on some other topics. But thank you for being with us today. Thank you to our audience.
Yes,
until next time, everybody. Class dismissed. Take care.
Bye, y'all.